So I request you could kindly listen. So far in this program there have been various events and most people have come. It's a for a religious come social event, but when there is speaking on the subject of Krishna, it is appropriate to listen, not to socialize at that time. So kindly listen and try to benefit from that. Today is celebration of Janmashtami. Of course, the actual date of Janmashtami was some days earlier. But actually, every day we should remember Krishna. It may be considered that, well, on Janmashtami we remember Krishna, and then there's Ganesh Chaturthi, we remember Ganesh, and then there's Navaratri, and we remember Mataji, and in this way there's the Hindu calendar. But the Vedic injunction is Smartavya Satatang Vishnu, Vismartavya Najatu Chit. We should always remember Krishna and never forget Him. So then we may think, well, how can we celebrate all these other celebrations? And how can we do anything else if we don't, if we're always thinking of Krishna? Well, how can we celebrate other celebrations? Those who are pure devotees of Krishna, they don't engage in worshipping various demigods. They may offer respect to the devatas, but understanding Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, they focus on Krishna only. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Kamaistaistai hritagyana prapadyante nidevataha. It would be better if the children could be playing outside, please. That Lord Krishna states that persons who are bewildered by material desires, they divert their attention to various forms of worship of various gods which cannot ultimately benefit them. And how can we think of Krishna always if we are engaged in worldly activities? Most of you who are here today are married. You may think, well, how can I think of Krishna if I go to work or if I'm running my shop? And the boss comes and says, do this job. And you say, well, I'm thinking of Krishna. And you'll say, well, okay, you think of Krishna, but not in this company. You're fired. Or if you're running your business and always thinking of Krishna, you may think, well, how can I do that? Because I have to run my business. I have to think of dollars and cents and following all the rules and regulations and the laws of the business. Well, this is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna taught Arjuna mamanusmara yudhyacha. Lord Krishna taught Arjuna that you must fight, that is your duty as a kshatriya, to fight, so don't stop that. But your first duty is to remember me, always. So again, we may think, well, that's easy for Arjuna to remember Krishna when he was fighting, because Krishna was personally with Arjuna, who is famous, therefore, as what's Krishna, what's Arjuna famous as for being with Krishna? They were fighting. Who can say that name? There's a big temple in Chennai. What's that temple called? Anyone? Huh? Parthasarathi. Yeah, is anyone from Chennai here? You visited that temple, I suppose. Partha Sarathi. Krishna has become the chariot driver of Arjuna. So we may think, well, that's easy for Arjuna, but what about me? Now, of course, Bhagavad Gita is not spoken only for Arjuna. It's meant for everyone. The instruction there is meant for everyone in every time and every place and every circumstance. Sometimes Bhagavad Gita is introduced as the Hindu Bible. But this is misleading to say so, because for a start, we don't find anywhere in Bhagavad Gita or in Mahabharata or anywhere in any of the Vedic scriptures the statement or the word Hindu. This is a concept that came up later. And Bible, yeah, that's, the Bible is there, that's one scripture, but Bhagavad Gita, there are many. Within the Vedic canon, there are the one Veda which became four Vedas, and then there are Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana. These are all the Vedic scriptures, of which Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita is presented the essence. Now, many people misunderstand, actually almost everyone who even attempts to study Bhagavad Gita, some people study it. We say it said the Hindu Bible, but unfortunately we find that most Christians know the Bible much better than the Hindus know the Bhagavad Gita. It's actually difficult to find a Hindu who's even read the Bhagavad Gita. It's even more difficult to find anyone who knows a few verses from Bhagavad Gita. People may know yada yada hi dharmasya, and that's about it. And yes, I know Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharma, and that's the one verse they may know. But mostly Bhagavad Gita is misunderstood to be a book which you take it and then you follow it as you like. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks of the paths of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. And people think, well, take your pick, whatever you like. The other popular line from Bhagavad Gita is, kama nevadikaraste. You have a right to work. So a lot of people like that. They take that to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that one has a right to work, that's not the all-in-all statement of Bhagavad Gita. It's a lot more profound, simply that stating that one has a right to work. The next line, ma paleshu kadachana, don't be attached to the results. That's the more important statement out of those two lines. But even more than sarva kama palatyaga, which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, to give up to renounce the results of one's work, if the whole message of Bhagavad Gita is taken, we find that the summary, the essence, Lord Krishna states, his final instruction, manmana bhava madbhakto, madhyaji mang namaskaru, mame vaishyasi satyante patijane priyosimani, to always think of me. The same instruction I mentioned earlier. To always think of me and become my devotee, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna. To worship me and bow down before me. In this way you will surely come to me, Lord Krishna says. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. And then, sarva dhaman parityaja, mamekam sharanam raja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishami mashucha. That all other kinds of dharmas, which Lord Krishna discusses in Bhagavad Gita, They are ultimately to be given up, and one should fully take shelter of Krishna. And Lord Krishna says that if one does so, he says to Arjuna and through Arjuna to everyone, that if one does so, that Lord Krishna himself will absolve all the reactions to our sinful activities. And he says, Ma Shuchaha, do not fear. Krishna, Lord Krishna, is quite competent to absolve all our reactions to sinful activities. So although karma, jnana and yoga are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear, if we understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, that Lord Krishna recommends that we become his devotees. We perform bhakti, pure devotional service to Krishna. That other paths, they may be considered stepping stones to bhakti. But ultimately one has to come to this point, because karma without service to that activity, unless it is directed toward Krishna, or knowledge, unless we come to the point of understanding Krishna, and yoga, unless we ultimately serve Krishna, it is not the jiva dharma or atma dharma. It is not the dharma of the self. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the duties of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and shudras. But these are external activities. They are to be... The varnashram system was organized to stratify everyone according to their propensity. The caste system in India is very much disliked or has a bad reputation, and there are many discrepancies in the way it has been practiced in recent centuries. But it's a realistic system to divide society, because some people are intellectual and it's best they work as intellectuals. Some people are natural leaders and it's better they work as natural leaders. Some people are business-minded and it's naturally they gravitate toward that. And some people, they don't have the qualification to be leaders or intellectuals or businessmen. And if we say this in the modern democratic age, people may get upset that, no, everyone's equal. But it's not a fact. Everyone's not equal. And not everyone is fit to be the leader of the country. Who would like to be the president of America? Many people would put their hand up. Who is capable? Who can even do the job? Not everyone is capable. Some people, a lot of people would be better off as a taxi driver than a president. It's better they remain a taxi driver. So the varnashram system is there, and Lord Krishna told Arjuna that one should act within that system, but that is not the ultimate instruction. The ultimate instruction is to act on the spiritual platform, which ultimately means to serve Krishna. And how to serve Krishna? Well, that's very easy. It's not difficult. By chanting Hare Krishna, that is service to Krishna. By offering food to Krishna with love, that is service to Krishna. Patrang pushpang palang to yam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhaktyupaharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Lord Krishna says that if one offers me with devotion fruit, leaf, flower or water, I will accept that if it's offered in the proper way by his devotees. So Krishna is a person, he is the supreme person, that person who in English language is rather vaguely referred to as God, he is that person who every one of us has a relationship with, but forgetting him, we are suffering in this material world. Our actual happiness, our actual function is fulfilled when we remember Krishna. And to remember him means to not simply remember passively, but to act in his service. So Bhagavad Gita, if understood as it is, will give us the direction of how to live our lives in a way that we can always remember Krishna. And if we don't always remember Krishna, then we are caught in Maya, illusion. Illusion means to think of myself as separate from Krishna, to conceive of my identity as separate from Krishna. And the whole world, everyone is doing that. That's why, again, to say Hindu Bible, it's a misnomer, because to identify oneself as a Hindu or a non-Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim, it's not a purely spiritual identification. There are social and social and material implications. We think, I am a Christian, God is a Christian, or God is Christ, and therefore everyone else is wrong, or I am a Hindu. Garv se kaho hum Hindu hai, kick out all the Muslims. So it becomes a political identity. But Lord Krishna teaches us that we are not the body. We may be born in a Hindu family, what is called a Hindu family, due to some whatever, the complex chain of karmic reactions, we are born in a Hindu family or a Muslim family or a dog family. They don't have much family life. People in the modern age don't have much family life, just like dogs, they don't have families. So, whatever birth we get, we tend to identify with that situation. But Lord Krishna says, identify with me. We belong to Krishna. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Our eternal identification is that we are part and parcel of Krishna. In one life we may be born a Hindu, in another life born a Muslim, in another life born in a Christian family, in another life born as a cat or a dog or a tree or a rat or whatever. But as Atma, our eternal identification is with Krishna. So Krishna comes to this world to teach this. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. This should be this verse, which I hope you all know. Lord Krishna states herein that whenever there is a decline in dharma and an increase of adharma, then Lord Krishna says, I advent in this world. But this all has to be understood very carefully. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. If Krishna was an ordinary human being, or even a special human being, we wouldn't be here today. If Krishna were, there's no human being of 5,000 years ago whose birthday people celebrate. If Krishna was ordinary, then why are people worshipping him even today? Because things change in the world. Religions come and go. Lord Krishna is worshipped not only here today, not only on this planet, But yang Brahma Varanendra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyai Stavaihi. Not only on this planet, but all the great devas, Brahma, Rudra, Marut, yang Brahma, Varuna, Indra, all the great devatas, they also worship Krishna. What is going on in the spiritual world, beyond this material world, there is Vaikuntha. What is going on there? Worship of Krishna. It's only on this, in this miserable material world, where people forget Krishna. That's why we're in the material world. So Lord Krishna comes very kindly to remind us that we're not meant to be here. This material world is miserable. Even in America, did anyone notice? Those who are in India, they like to come to America, thinking everything's wonderful in America. But when they come here, they find that, well, maybe it's not as crowded as India, and maybe you can earn more money, but more or less, life's the same. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi, there's birth, death, old age and disease, with an American accent, but still you have to die. So you may, maybe you'll die with a bigger income, and then the government will take away most of it in your death tax, but that doesn't make any difference to you. Or you can, if you earn enough money, you can die in a air-conditioned hospital ward. So you can die pleasantly, but still you have to die. So this material world is miserable, and even America is miserable. And even Indraloka, Swargaloka, that's miserable. But there's good news. We don't belong here in this miserable material world. We belong with Krishna. And if we chant Hare Krishna, and we can go to Krishna, then we will be actually happy. Lord Krishna comes very kindly because we are unhappy. He wants to make us happy. But we cannot be happy by forgetting Him. We can only be happy by remembering Him and serving Him. So He comes to this world to teach us Bhagavad Gita so that we can give up our attachment to this material world and become attached to Krishna. So that practical process is the process of Bhakti Yoga. Just like Arjuna was a grihastha, a family man, Lord Krishna asked Arjuna to give up all lower dharmas, but He didn't ask Arjuna that now you have to take sannyas. He told Arjuna the real meaning of sannyas is anarshita karma phalang. What is that verse? Karyang yat karma. I forgot that. Anashita karma palang. Karyang. What is it? Karyang karma karoti yaha. Sasanyasi cha yogi cha. Nani ragneyana chakriyaha. That one who formally accepts sannyas may not be as good a sannyasi as one who works as he is obligated. Because sannyas means to give up attachment. So one can live in this world without attachment to this world, being attached to Krishna. That is the art of Bhakti Yoga, which we won't discuss in detail here. Otherwise, we'll be here till next Janmashtami, at least, because it's a big topic. But that should be cultivated. Bhakti is a cultivation. Gradually, how we can understand who is Krishna, what is my relationship with Krishna, how to act in that relationship. In this Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the easy process to enter into bhakti and to attain all spiritual perfection. It begins with the very simple process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we ask everyone to follow everything all at once, most people will faint. If we tell them that in the pure devotional line, there's no drinking of tea or coffee and no onions or garlic, what to speak of meat, and most people will faint. So we don't ask that in the beginning. Just chant Hare Krishna. This is the beginning. We can start to chant, even if we have we picked up various habits along the way, which are not conducive to spiritual life. We can start by chanting Hare Krishna and try to understand about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Please show me a copy. I request all of you, if you don't have this Bhagavad Gita as it is in your home, please get one. This is most important. Everyone who calls themselves a Christian has a Bible in their home, isn't it? Yes, I'll answer if you don't know. So, although as I was saying, it's not really the Hindu Bible, but at least if you call yourselves Hindus, you should have a copy of this in your home. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Of course, there are many editions of Bhagavad Gita, but this edition presents Krishna as He is. There are many editions of Bhagavad Gita in which the authors themselves, they don't really understand it, to tell the truth. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna establishes Himself, Latav parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. He establishes Himself as the Supreme. There is no one equal to Him. There is no one above Him. So in this spirit, following what Krishna Himself says, this Bhagavad Gita has been presented. And the practical result of studying and following this Bhagavad Gita as it is, that millions of people all over the world who don't identify themselves specifically as Hindus have taken to Krishna Bhakti. Their lives have become purified, enriched, and fully spiritualized by accepting Krishna as He presents Himself in Bhagavad Gita. So this edition of Bhagavad Gita has been written exactly following what Lord Krishna says by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, Mahabhagavat. He has presented this Bhagavad Gita exactly in the spirit that Krishna wrote it. And I request you, for your own great spiritual benefit, that all of you should have a copy of this in your home. Of course, not just keep it in the home, but read it also, and chant Hare Krishna, and act in this way, take advantage of the gift that Lord Krishna has come to give us. Why does Krishna come to this world? To help us to get free from birth and death, to give us the path by which we can become free from Maya, to give us the path by which we can be eternally blissful in Krishna's service, that is called bhakti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, or if anyone would like to interject at this point, please do so. Do we have a few minutes for that or not? All right. So, yeah, well, let's see if there are any questions. Do we have one of these mics? Well, it's right here. Another one of these. If anyone has any question, please raise your hand and we'll get a mic over to you. Or if you're shy to ask publicly, you could write it on a piece of paper and send it up. Sometimes people are a little shy to ask. Yes, please.
What's the understanding of Jesus in terms of understanding Krishna?
Srila Prabhupada, of course, in the Vedic literature itself, there's not mention of Jesus specifically. Apparently in the Bhavishya Purana there is mention of him, but he is accepted, all the Vaishnava Acharyas have accepted him as a pure devotee of Krishna, because he taught people to worship our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's saying to chant the name of God. And he said, thy will not mine be done. So this is bhakti. So he's accepted as a guru. He pointed towards the Supreme Lord. Christianity is a misunderstanding of Jesus, because they accept him as being directly God, whereas he himself pointed that toward the Father above. So there's a misunderstanding there, but we accept him as a great pure devotee who tried to help people by giving them knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, as he himself said, there are many things that I have to say, but you are not fit to hear. So he didn't, at least in Christianity, there's not a very clear idea of who is the person he was talking about. And the tradition has also suffered by, anyway, it's a long story, but that's discussed in this book, Science of Self-Realization. There's some discussion, Srila Prabhupada discusses the position of Christ and of modern Christianity. But if we take to Krishna consciousness as delivered in the parampara system, as it's going on now, then all the purposes of the teachings of Jesus are served. And in fact, if Jesus were to come today, we're quite sure he'd be very happy to join the kirtan party, the glorification of Lord Krishna by kirtan. So for more detail, you please read in The Science of Self-Realization. Is there any other question, please? Yeah, please, yeah. We're running out of time. All right, well, if anyone would like to discuss more, we can meet outside. And it's a quick question. Sometimes the quick questions have very long answers. What is the purpose of life? You could spend... What is the difference between God realization and Krishna consciousness? Well, it's basically the same thing, but again, the term God can be very vague. Whereas Krishna specifically means Krishna. Who is God? Means the Supreme. Krishna is his name. It's just like saying the President of America, that's a position. And the name of the incumbent president is George Bush. So it's more specific. It's a particular person. God refers to his position as supreme. And Krishna, of course, Krishna's not going to be booted out in November. Or ever. Krishna's always. That's why he's God. So God is a position, and that position is so mighty that we might feel fearful of him almost. But Krishna is supreme, but he is the supreme loving person who we can have a very sweet relationship with. So we prefer the term Krishna. He's our friend. George Bush's mother doesn't call, if she's still alive, his wife doesn't call him Mr. President. She doesn't get all fluttery, the president, when he comes in the room. She might even, get on his case, nag him sometimes. Oh, you're always busy, why don't you spend any time with me? And blah, 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 blah. She may get on his case. So Krishna also, his mother slaps him sometimes. Chase him with a stick. So That's difficult to understand if we're thinking that he's God. But in Vrindavan, people don't think of God. They know Krishna. So it's actually, like I said, it could be a very big answer to that. So please read Srila Prabhupada's books. There are so many books. Do you want to tell about the books also? And I'll finish here so as not to take more time in your program. Please continue. Hare Krishna.